Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Vikings fans, what's going on? Are you ready for the AfterBuzz TV Vikings After Show? Ivar asks at the end. Everyone is with me. Are you with Ivar? Let's discuss. Here we go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. I'm in the big camera over here. Welcome, Viking fans. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the after show for episode 3. There was a little debate about that last week, but it is episode 3.
They counted it as 3, even though
the first one was just not a long
one. They aired 1 and 2.
Right. They aired 1 and 2 last week. So this is episode 3, Homeland. And we appreciate you guys joining us. I don't know why I'm doing this, but apparently I am. My name is Jake Simmons.
Loki went to Hawaii. Just kidding.
Right.
He didn't go to Hawaii.
He's not in Hawaii. We're not that dumb. I know we're dumb, but...
No, we're not.
Speaking of dumb, my name is James, by the way, and it is just me and Carrie tonight. If you guys want to follow, you want to comment, you want to tease, you want to whatever, I'm on social media at AskTheNP.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And we do have a live chat with this show, so feel free to join the discussion. And if you are watching this later, comment down below. A lot of you commented on our last video. Thank you very much. And it was brought up before, but we'll say it again, because this is a historical fiction show.
Historical fiction.
So we're no history experts here. We are experts of the show Vikings, because we're super fans, just like you.
Just like you. And you know, we actually do love your guys' comments.
Yes,
like,
there's some good ones. A lot of you agreed with us that Floki totally went to Iceland.
Iceland, which that has to be where he is, right? Right. And that actually is a really good point. Maybe we should start off where, because there were some of you guys that are new. I'm in the big camera, but I suppose I'm going to go over here, because I'm going to talk to you guys. Mm. So for some of y'all that are new to the live chat or don't remember from... It was like 5 months ago, right?
It feels so long ago.
It was so long ago. Sometimes we go chronologically through the episode. Sometimes we break it down into storyline. So this episode, we felt like kind of had like 4 very distinct storylines. Mm-hmm. 3 of them were like really fast. So we're going to get those little guys out of the way so that we can go talk about the big bad one. So speaking of Iceland and Floki, let's start with the homeboy
That was
Floki.
Nice and short.
It was nice and short. Who I guess he finds, was that a sulfur? Hot spring?
I want to say sulfur hot spring because he smells it and having gone to...
there's the Floki. Yeah. Oh, we forgot to introduce Steve, by the way. Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
Our other part of the host panel people.
Right.
Hey,
there
he
is. The voice of God. And those of you who watch every week know that there is usually 3 of us. Mm-hmm. Jakub Vinnings is actually halfway across the world right now. He's in New Zealand.
Oh, fun.
Yes. So maybe he's watching us right now. I don't know what time it is there. I don't know why I just slipped into English.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway. Jakub, we miss you. He'll be back next week. Steve is the voice of God. Floki is in Iceland.
Yeah, I'm still going with Iceland, and I want to say sulfur because of, one, it's a hot springs, and two, if there's a smell to it, generally that's sulfur.
Right.
And have you been to a natural sort of hot spring before?
Like in, like, New Mexico.
Oh, it still counts.
Yeah. I mean, not as cool as, like, Iceland.
Yeah.
But
question, though. Mm-hmm. Can you just put that on your wound and it will instantly heal later?
I knew this one was coming. This is really interesting. No, you cannot put like sulfur water under your wound and it magically heals. But it's really interesting. There are some healing properties to these like super mineralized like hot springs. So yes, Floki's hand might have gotten better from the hot spring, but it didn't get better like overnight.
Well, wait, we should also add why you have authority to speak on this.
Oh.
Just in case people are new.
Because I read a book once and I paid somebody a lot of money.
You just read internet articles.
I did, right. Yeah. I'm on the Google. No, I'm a nurse practitioner and that's what I do for a living. And I run, as you guys, I told you to follow me at AskTheNP. I run all this like social media blog health stuff. So lots of times we talk about on the show when people have really cool, awesome deaths.
Or injuries. Or injuries, just to be like, hey, wait.
I get to be the private medical expert. It's like, yes, someone would die from that. Or no, not really.
And actually, speaking of that, I was curious for Floki because I still think it's unclear, and I like that it's unclear, the visions he's seen with this show.
Steve has an opinion about this.
They could be real. This show has presented the possibility of gods. It's not out of the realm of an option. You know, it could be there. But with him, shrooms, it's been a while. We'll assume he ate those earlier because last episode we're like, it's the shrooms.
Right.
Well, we don't know how long it's been, but he's at least hours. I'm like, it could be a
very, very long day.
Yes. Well, right. The other thing is he hasn't eaten regular food. He's probably exhausted, and he has the injury, which could be infected. So all those things can lead to...
We don't need the nurse practitioner on the panel. We got Gary, which is totally right, by the way, because they're...
Nutritionist.
Right.
Yeah, there we go. The nutritionist.
Because Carrie's still on... If you guys missed last week, Carrie's still on this thing where she eats like two carrots and a turkey roll.
No.
Like twice a day. Like that's it.
No, I eat every three hours.
Why you look fantastic. I mean, you always look fantastic. I'm just saying. You could look fantastic even if you weren't dead. I'm sorry. I'm going to piss people off.
Oh, I know.
Someone's going to be mad.
Yeah,
we're not historians. I'm not fat shaming anyone. I mean, fat shaming? Hello. Back to Floki, who could be hallucinating from... an infection, honestly, because people do that. A lot of times we disguise it as something like ICU dementia or something like that, but people do hallucinate from infections if his fever's really high. So are these the gods he's seeing? Is it the mushrooms or is it the infection? Who knows, but the shit clears up. Like, bam.
Mm-hmm.
After, what was that? I don't know when he was like, to me, I was like, he's seizing.
When he just
whatever. Yeah, at the end of his scene.
I actually thought someone was dragging him on the ground at first. Like, it felt like he had moved forward a little bit, so I thought someone had dragged him.
Was pulling him.
Yep. Unclear. I don't know yet. When we get to it, we have a lot of thoughts on Ivar.
We do, and I promise you guys, we're coming to your comments in the live chat. Please leave them, and if you're watching this afterwards, please leave comments too. We go back
comments
and we read them,
below.
And we like. Comment below. We really appreciate it.
So I read through them last week. I didn't reply to any of you. I'm sorry, but I did like. I'm like,
I'm sorry.
Skip.
Sorry, I didn't get. I read them though. I really did. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to respond because I'm technically unsavvy. So all right. So Floki's in Iceland. His hand's better. He sees a bunch of visions, and now he's like, I'm living with the gods.
Yeah. Ariadne agrees. Thought it was being dragged.
Right. All right. We're out. No more Floki.
Oh, I like that. Timo said, I must have a dirty mind because I thought someone was doing something else to Floki in that scene. You know what? With this show, that is not out of the realm of possibility.
It is not out of the realm of possibility. Nope. And speaking of like,
I don't think I'd be surprised. I'd just be like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Floki's getting a blowjob in the land of the gods. So maybe it's like the best blowjob ever of all time.
We need to tie that into another thing later.
Well, we do, right. We're going to come back to blowjobs in York. But I also feel like two people who might be wanting to give each other blowjobs is Bjorn and Halfdan in the Gulf of Cadiz. Because there's like a budding bromance. It's not just me reading into it, right? I don't. Do you feel this?
Maybe.
It's like a
They were opening up to each other.
Right.
Like, why do you want to do this?
Why are you here?
Yeah.
Which is a legit point. Like, honestly, because, you know, they were sort of enemies in the past. And I think Bjorn is really trying to be like, are you with me? Do you have my back?
Yeah.
Or like, why? What are your motivations? Plus, when you're in the water and you have like weeks of sailing, like what else are you going to do?
They probably, you know, bonded a bit and finally, and then also separated from his brother, he might be more trustworthy as well.
Correct. And more like open.
Yeah.
I suppose he's not because, fine hair. So we're talking about Halfdan, left with Bjorn. They're going back to the Mediterranean. There was one scene, I think two scenes, but we need to cover it for you guys. So if you missed it, Bjorn and Halfdan are sitting on the boat, and Bjorn's like, why are you here? And then Sinner, I wrote his name down, but I forgot.
Oh, yeah, the other...
some other guy comes in, and he's like, by the way, Bjorn, I don't think we should approach as people raiding, as raiders.
Yeah,
we should...
The dude with the green beard.
The dude with the green, gray, yellow beard. We shouldn't be... raiders, we should be traitors.
Oh, good points. Ara Davis says, Bjorn reminds me the most of Ragnar. He had a few bromances. Ragnar totally had bromances, yes.
He did. With
Floki.
Floki.
Super
with,
bromance.
Athelstan.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the bromance of the century.
And even King Ecbert, a little bit.
He did have a bromance. They were both naked in that hot tub. Not trying to make it sexual. I'm just saying they had the bromance.
Daniel in the chat says, am I the only one who's out on Bjorn? And they're kind of surprised to say that.
Mm.
Yeah, he's also, Ariane points out that Bjorn's not in this season that much.
Not so far, but I think they're setting it up. So I don't know.
I think he'll be more later.
Later, right. Because, they set up this big battle where everyone's going to come back to Kattegat and whatever, and you see Bjorn there. So we just sort of needed to move Bjorn's story along, and the conflict there is whether or not they go back to the Mediterranean, traitors or raiders.
Good point. And thinking of Halfdan, I do agree. Good question from Timo in the chat. Still don't trust that guy. Do you trust him?
No. I feel like I do.
I kind of do, too. Halfdan. What about you?
I would say yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
To be a man of the world, to travel.
Right, all he wants to do is live.
To be more than alive.
Right, with the most intensity or whatever. I mean, I can appreciate that, right? We all say that, life is short.
He wants to live, not just be alive.
You could die tomorrow. You get hit by a bus. Your house could burn down. By the way, we're in Southern California. And just for those of you who are out there in Southern California, you can smell the smoke here outside of the studios. And I can see it from my house. The smoke, and a lot of people are affected by this. So if you're watching this or you were affected by the Northern California fires or whatever, just our hearts are with you. Mm-hmm. Please be safe. Please, when they tell you to leave, leave. Don't be a hero. You can replace your house. But just so that you guys know, at least me, Carrie, and Steve are safe from the fires, at least for now.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of which, I just got a note on my phone. Severe alert, strong winds overnight, creating extreme fire danger. Stay alert, listen to authorities.
Yeah.
And there are parts where you can drive by and still see active fire.
Just on the interstate, you're just looking, there's a fire. Yeah, it's kind of no joke. So, but we're here for you guys, and we're moving on from Bjorn, who I agree will have a much, much, much bigger role later on.
Daniel in the chat agrees that to trust Halfdan. Nice! That was good timing.
That was excellent timing.
Says, I trust him because we saw what happened with Rollo and Ragnar, brothers not always loyal to each other. Good point. New family.
Very good point. But I feel like there's something, I don't know, maybe they're drawing us into that. I really trust Halfdan, and maybe they're doing that on purpose.
I trust him more than Finehair, for sure.
Of course.
For sure.
Speaking of Finehair, who comes in, and he was like, nice transition, give me some dap, boom. So Finehair walks in right to the, and he's like, I have returned, and we're going to
here's my kingdom.
And we conquered England, and Bjorn... My brother went with Bjorn. Ha 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 ha.
Who cares? What trouble could they get in?
I sort of would this is what I was thinking during that entire scene. Do people really just sit around waiting to cheer on their dudes when they come home? Do you notice they do that a lot?
It does
happen.
Nobody arrives at the banquet hall. They're already there.
Right. They just walk in and everyone's there and they just start cheering. Are these people just sitting there waiting for months, years maybe?
You know what, though? Depending on how big the fjord is when they're rowing in, they maybe could be all right, we got 20 minutes, guys?
Or half a day. Yeah. Right, if they can see. They're all right.
Depending on how far out. Because it's not like they send their, a message ahead of time. So we're going to be there tomorrow at 5.
Right.
Make sure dinner's ready. Thanks.
You guys didn't text me?
No carrier pigeon? Right. Oh, my gosh.
But that's why I think it's so funny. Don't they have lives to lead and crops to farm and, their town to defend? But yet they're always there, ready to cheer on. Dickhead, who brings home his... That's my new name for fine hair, by the way. Dickhead. Mm-hmm. Who brings... Although I think he's kind of handsome. He brings Astrid back and he's like, and by the way...
This is my woman.
This is my woman, and y'all gonna love her. And, but I do love how, I didn't love this scene. And one of you guys mentioned actually in the comments that you thought the writing was a little bit weak this season already. Okay. And I'm not there yet. I do feel like the writing is a little bit different. I'm with you. And I can't remember who said that. But the writing, I think maybe the first episode or two or three, they gotta kind of catch us up because it's been so long. But I will say that it was sort of like Astrid was like, screw you, dude. And then 2 seconds later, she strolls out. Now, was that on purpose? Has she really had a change of heart?
I think she's essentially deep undercover.
Yeah, word.
I think...
I'm with that.
Just playing the role.
Yeah, I think she's totally playing the role. I think she is going to enjoy it, because if she's stuck here, why be miserable and have all these possible worst negative things happen? I mean, besides having to have sex with him, is that's the most where she's nope. But
drawing the line,
food and nice clothes, she's like,
I can play the role a little bit.
Ariani says, I honestly think Astrid's will switch sides eventually. Someone else was saying they're really loving Astrid. Last week, people were commenting like, don't trust her at all.
Right.
I want to say she's more loyal to Lagertha. And I think she's just making the best of this situation.
And that's what we hope, I think.
I hope.
Because she's like Lagertha's girl. Yeah. But I...
It's hard to say, though. Because she might be like, never mind, this life is really cushy and I like it.
Right, and we've seen that. We've seen people kind of turn because of, you know, and Astrid was never, I think she always felt disrespected by Lagertha. She always felt sort of like she was second fiddle.
All the time.
Yes, always second fiddle. And Astrid was always like ready to fight, right? Or ready to do something. And Lagertha's like, no, we have to wait. Mm-hmm. And so it was constant, even though like Astrid loves Lagertha, there was always this conflict. And I feel like, if given the opportunity, like, Finehair's like, look, Astrid, the kingdom is yours other than me. So, like, you can do what you want. I don't know. I feel like by the end of the season, Astrid might take advantage of that.
Arya in the chat agrees. The power will corrupt Astrid.
Yes, agreed. Ooh, Arya and Ariadne.
Oh, you know what, Danny? I totally was thinking that. Danny in chat says, Astrid might betray King Harold and become queen of them all. I kind of was thinking that. Ooh. She'll, like, go a while and then kill him and be like, I'm in charge.
She's like, I'm in charge. Have we ever seen any strong females in this show do that before?
You know, maybe.
Might she have had a good example of someone?
Right, mentor, indirectly.
From with which to have taken this power.
Yeah.
Do you like my English there? From with which to have.
Very good.
Speaking of really bad English accents, should we move on to Jonathan Rhys-Meyers? Ooh, I said it! Ha ha ha! Are we good? Oh, well.
His accent's interesting.
All we gotta do is Astrid's punch, though. I mean, that's...
Oh, that was so good. Good hit.
She for sure learned
I
that
I like that he
Lagertha.
Didn't, like, hate it. Like, he didn't go
he
after
into some
her.
Kinky stuff? Is that
no, I think he likes a tough woman. I think he likes that she's totally not, like, a sucker of just like I give in to you and whatever. I think he likes the challenge.
I can see that.
And he likes a strong woman, so he's kind of like, all right, fair enough.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I couldn't help. I'm sorry. I know this is the topic overplayed, and it really has not a lot to do with the actual show, but I couldn't help but think of all the sexual assault stuff.
Oh, yeah, when she's sitting next to him on the bed.
Right.
I'm like,
and I was like, is this what Harvey Weinstein did to like women? And he just like scooted closer and he's like, you're beautiful. You're really beautiful.
Oh, I like that the subtitles said chuckles, but that was not chuckles. She kind of had a... she did not laugh
not
happily
good.
At that.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, no sexual assault. Astrid, I like that they're doing something with your character.
Yeah. Ariadne really was worried about that, too. Yeah. Ariadne says, I'm glad he didn't go after her either. I was expecting it, though. I thought he might have, too. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yep. Teemo reminded us. She did have sex. I'm not supposed to drop the F-bomb as much as I did. So, Teemo, I'm not going to read your comment verbatim because I think I dropped the F-bomb 14
did
times.
You mean fornicate?
I mean, fornicate.
Copulated?
Copulated. Yes, Teemo, she did. You like the crumbling of the papers? Right, there you
and
go. Because we're done with that storyline. But she did F one of the sons.
Bjorn.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, she effed Bjorn. Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot about that. Okay, so the big storyline. Let's move on to this thing, because this is where we want to spend the bulk of our time. Oh, we have a lot of time left. Good. All right, England, man. Whoa. I didn't think they were going to get to this quite this fast. Like, the battle.
It was a good battle, and it was filmed well. And did you see that coming of how shitty it would go down?
And I've been watching this show for, like, what is this, season 5? You would think. I'm also like a Game of Thrones watcher. I'm also like, I like this type of stuff. I'm going to start watching Nightfall, by the way. It's on the DVR. Do people even DVR anymore?
But, yeah.
It's on the DVR.
We do here,
right? Essentially. that's how we watch these shows. No, I was really surprised, Carrie. I did not. I don't know if you guys saw it coming too or not, but I was like, man, the Saxons really have found their weakness. I was like, Ivar's a dumbass. He didn't prepare the Roman walls. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really going to take over. This is going to be it. Like, whatever. And then I was not prepared for at all the complete and total, like, surprise.
I wasn't expecting it, but I wasn't surprised. Pretty much as soon as they were standing there watching, I'm like, oh, they got a plan.
You're like, oh, shit.
They totally have a plan.
This is awesome. And it was pretty... I think they did... This part of this episode was done really well in that they sort of, like, snuck us into the surprise. Like, we were...
It was good. Yeah, we were, like, with it. But it wasn't too far ahead or... we weren't too far ahead or too far behind.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that's unfortunate both ways. Where you're totally, I saw it coming. Or where you're really, like, too far behind where it takes forever to appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
It's like, as soon as you got in and they're standing there watching, you're like, oh, shit. You're like, it's about to go down.
Damn, this is about to go down. I'm just trying to catch up on you guys' comments in the... We're still talking about Halfdan. Yep. Yeah. Lorraine, you have some very good comments, by the way. We're not ignoring them. I see them there. We're just a little bit ahead of you. You know, speaking of surprises, Carrie, one thing I was super surprised about, if we back up a little earlier in the York battle timeline, was this woman that came to be a sacrifice.
The Ivar pseudo-not-sex scene?
Yeah. But was it a sex scene? Because there were two big surprises there. So, you know, the Vikings have this ritual human sacrifice. We've seen that a lot over these episodes.
Do it all the time.
And so, Carrie's like, I do it on Sundays. So Ivar's like, we need a sacrifice. We saw this woman in the last episode, actually. So this woman comes up, and she was kind of giving Ivar the eyes.
I don't think I remember.
In the last episode. Yeah, she was like in the periphery.
Mm.
So I think that's why Ivar's like, oh, this girl's giving me the eyes. He brings her in. You're going to be our sacrifice. Will you do it? And she's like, I'll do anything for you because you're special.
Oh, and that was I'll do anything.
Yeah.
One more time, Carrie. One more time, Carrie. Uh-huh.
Dude, she has a really good butt, though. She looked really good. I applaud people that are brave enough to be nude on TV.
Eats her two carrot sticks and one turkey roll up.
And does her squats.
And she does lots of squats, yes. We appreciate her acting ability in the nude as well. Yes. And she, whatever her ability was.
Timo says she didn't even try hard enough to get him up. Is that PG enough?
Yeah. Timo, you don't have to be PG.
Arya says the girl was giving me Aslaug vibes. Well, you know what? We talked about that of like, wait a minute. Was that like the best boner he's ever had? And we're like, no. We think that might be like his only
boner. Because you guys remember
So surprised. Yeah. He was like, what?
Because that's why they tease him. They're like, they even brought it up last episode. They're like, you're not fully a man.
Yeah.
Because you can't get it up and you can't tag these girls. And guess what? I think... Because it's up here, right?
This 100%.
This is the biggest 100%. Sex organ, and you don't need to be a nurse practitioner to know that. So she, tapped into the right thing. She's like, you're special, and has everything
not
to do.
Not afraid of him. That was the biggest thing he noticed right away. He's like, you're not afraid of me. And she's like, nope.
Nope. And
you're
special because of your crippledness.
Yes.
Not just in spite of it. Which I feel like we all need to hear.
Right? Someone who loves you just for you.
Carrie, you're special despite...
We can just stop.
All right, Carrie's like, let's not go.
No, but I thought that was... I was happy he found someone who totally was like, okay. But then he, like, turned her down, kind of. And she was like, but you sure? And he's like, no. Like, this is already good. And he thanked her. I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was. It was a little too far up. But someone thanked... He's like, yeah, he thanked her.
Yep.
Which is... Ivar saying thank you to somebody.
And freed her, yeah.
He's like, you're free.
Yeah, that was my other surprise. The two surprises were Ivar's dick got hard.
Yep.
Was that enough, Steve? Was that okay?
And she was like, wait, you don't want me to, surprise? Like, no.
He's like, no, you're free. You're good.
It's like, you're fine.
Whoa, huge
maybe
surprise.
They'll bone later.
Intentionally, boneless. That was a good pun.
Bone the boneless.
She's going to bone the boneless. Yeah. Yay! There you go,
Steve. Like, he is super cray-cray. I don't think anybody can deny he is crazy.
But this showed a level of maturation, I think. I think this showed him, this whole episode, I mean, this was all about
He's
Ivar.
Very extremely intelligent. So I don't want him to, like, be alone if somebody totally digs him for all his weirdness and uniqueness. I want him to have somebody.
Weirdness and uniqueness.
Timo says, and because he's sexy in a sadistic killer way, maybe gonna join the scene way too much.
All right.
It was a sexy scene, though, to have their dialogue and, like, the power play.
Yeah.
And she totally was, like, at his level. Not afraid. Nope. Not like, I'm less than you, even though she's a slave.
And she fully confident.
Oh, 100%.
Right. And it wasn't, you're right, it wasn't like she was worshiping him either. No. Like, she was like, nope, we're peers.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I'm a slave, you want to kill me to sacrifice whatever, like, we're cool.
Yeah.
Hey, she controls the power because she got into here and she got into that. Wah, wah. So, speaking of you know, times when all we battle over is whose dick is bigger, which is kind of what
that's
I feel
what
like.
All the brothers are doing.
Seriously. Oh, right. Like, what is going on with this? This tension has been building for two seasons now, at least.
Oh, yeah.
And it really starts to come to, I mean, it comes to a head in this episode.
Ayo.
Ayo. Thank you.
Super late on that.
That
guys.
Was another. That's okay.
It's okay. We make dirty jokes on this show, but guys, this show is TVMA, so you shouldn't be surprised.
Ooh, Ariadne agrees that scene was probably one of the sexiest in the entire
season. Well, it's one of the few ones so far. This season, we haven't had many sex scenes.
Right.
There's not a lot of sex scenes on this show where both people are super into each other and like, want each other, not like someone taking
like
the other
power
one
thing or like a or, rape
yeah.
thing or
so
something.
It's
yeah.
like, oh, then that was sexy.
I do have to flashback. Speaking yeah. of sex scenes, I think my favorite sex scene in the show so far was oh my god, I just forgot his name.
When Ragnar turned down
Ragnar
and
Athelstan and
Lagertha. Yes, I was gonna say, I'm like, that was the one.
Oh, that was good.
I was gonna say, I thought I remembered him turning him down, and then it was like, no, wait, they
no, that happened because I was
well, yeah. wait, didn't he say no at first? And then he's like, all right, never mind,
right? And then he's like, well, because then he's like, Ragnar and Lagertha went off, you know. And they're like, well, we're gonna do our yeah. thing. And then Athelstan was like,
yes.
All right, well, maybe I'll get into this.
He's like, sure,
right? Oh man, that's
yeah,
the way back
says,
machine.
Throwback, yeah. Athelstan's like, oh, little me, okay,
right? Okay, fine. Sorry about the throwback there. So we fast forward into yes. this battle scene. We're gonna catch you guys up
filmed
here.
So well too.
Beautifully done. Ugh. And you know the British
brutal.
Are like, let's go. We're gonna give them the Roman
we're
walls.
We're gonna win.
And yay! And God is with us. And Heckmund, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers character is all like whatever. And so they approach the city, and there's no one there.
I was like, come on, guys. This is super suspicious. Really? Now of y'all were like,
Shouldn't you know when you walk into some place where there's supposed to be people and there isn't?
Nobody had shields up ready just in case.
And the people aren't there and there's fog.
Yeah.
Dead giveaway.
Visibility?
Like, have they never watched movies before?
Right.
So I did
love... Have they never been in battle?
Right. Well, Steve was the first person, I think, while we were watching to be like, why are they not walking over the bodies? Right, so all these bodies...
I was saying that. I'm like, do this. Fall. Oh, I'm like, do it.
Right. Well, they fall
it
on
sucks.
The spikes, but like, you got to get over
but
the spikes.
But they keep piling,
so
then it's safe.
If you got to go, you got
to
go.
Yeah.
Hey, and of course, they had to thank you, Michael Hurst, and everyone else, or I don't know who directed this episode, but the spike through the guy's mouth, like, was that?
Oh, that was good. It was so good and gnarly. You're like, ah, oh. And someone got an arrow to an eyeball.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That was a good one, too.
It was good, right? Yeah, you're keeping the gore factor there, for sure, Vikings. And I'm interested, if you're watching again, that, and I'm sorry, the gentleman who commented about the writing, I'm curious if you thought, I thought this storyline was written very well. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers has a couple of like sort of obnoxious lines, and he's like, we're gonna do this for God or whatever, but
it's the character.
I think it's part of his character. But I think that moving through the storyline, particularly the stuff after this battle, so
you
know,
think Ariadne says she felt the battle was a little short. I didn't think it felt short. It was one of those, I think they just got their asses kicked that fast, so
yeah, I'm in. And yeah. I don't think that the battle was the ultimate gist of this episode. Like, I don't think the battle was supposed to be the climax of the episode.
No.
And
Ivar sitting on the ground was a big moment.
Okay, that was huge, though. Can we just... He was making the camera shake. He was making the earth shake by, like, when he was hitting his chest, and he was like, you know, you can't
crazy
kill
eyes
me.
And right, laughing.
So let's pregame that a little bit, right?
Right.
So
yes.
Ragnar, sorry, not Ragnar. Ivar the Boneless. Hey. Ivar the Boneless was checking out the battle left and right. He was scoping things out. I assume he was feeling pretty confident by the way he looked at that battle. So
yeah.
Right. Well, and then Aethelwulf calls him out. He's like, get out here and fight, you coward.
Well, I didn't think he said him specifically. I just thought...
But he knew. He knew. Remember, he was like looking around.
Well, he knew somebody was up there.
Oh, yeah.
I think Ivar just felt like he wants to be part of it. Mm-hmm. And so watching, he's not a general where he could just mastermind it and sit back. He's like, no, I want to be in it.
Be a part of it, yeah. Right. It's a very Viking sort of thing to like be a part of it. But Steve, I'm sorry I interrupted you there.
Oh, yeah, no worries, no worries. Okay, so he's checking that out. He gets on his carriage. he's going in, you know, just going balls to the wall, you know, for lack of a better term, and he gets knocked right off.
Oh,
right?
That was glorious.
Just like that, slow motion, everything, knocked the wind out of him. Right.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
And then that's how that scene gets set up, where he's basically surrounded by all the other knights.
Well, he does the fake, too, before the dude walks over.
Oh,
did
yeah,
you notice
that's
that?
Right.
He,
no,
like,
that's right, that's right,
laid
right.
still. The guy walked over, and he's like, wha-bam!
And then he gets bloodthirsty.
And then wha-bam, 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 wha-bam. Right.
Yeah,
he, like,
yeah.
stabs the guy in the face.
Hacked.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, hacked him, right, like, 19 times. Which is, we're already establishing Ivar's craziness, right, for the last couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But we took this to a whole nother level. Like, I think almost, because, you know, Ivar, as you guys well remind us, you historians out there, that Ivar the Boneless becomes a huge, important historical figure. And I think they're taking us there to his epicness slowly. And this was one of those things that was, this was like a quantum leap into... Because he's sitting there, and it's all those knights, and they shoot that arrow at him, and it goes right past him. And he realizes, like, no, I'm Ivar the Boneless, like, you can't kill me.
Even Sean is like, he's like, eh.
Right. He's like, well, I wonder if he feels it.
I was wondering that, too.
Because I don't think he's, well, I don't know, he's probably paralyzed if they don't work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We've kind of had discussions about, right.
I'm guessing that they don't work at all. Like, he doesn't feel anything, because you can't have some paraplegia.
He still had an emotional reaction to it, of course.
Well,
yeah,
he snapped that thing off.
Well,
he
okay,
like,
wait,
screw
weird,
you guys.
And weird, doctor-y question. Then, uh-huh. So could his legs not working, not feel anything, but feel things in other parts?
Like his naughty bits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I actually just had a conversation with someone today who is in a wheelchair and had a spinal cord injury, and that person's legs don't work, but his penis sure does. So,
Dane in the chat says he's not paralyzed. He just doesn't have any bones. No, he has bones in his legs. Weren't they? They were just weird and broken and like deformed.
I mean, they call him the Boneless, but it was probably like, you know,
I think it meant like they were
cerebral palsy,
weird.
Or
yeah.
It was probably like a premature birth, or, you know, fetal alcohol syndrome because Auslaug drank or something.
Drank,
you know what I
so
mean?
Much.
Like,
yeah,
that's why there can be lots of reasons. I'm guessing he has bones. I'm guessing he is sort of paralyzed. That's why they don't work.
Or he's just on such a high, they, you know, doesn't really feel it.
Oh, like from
adrenaline.
The
adrenaline. There we go. Yeah. Daniel says small, weak bones. Yeah, I'll go with that. Like, they are there.
Yeah.
They're just not strong. Someone earlier in the chat was pointing out how this feels like it's get on the Ivar train, like, to viewers.
Yes. Very yes. good point. You guys had that earlier. I do. I feel like they're sort of like pushing us a little mm-hmm. bit to be like, you need to join Team Ivar. And I kind of feel like, at least for me, it's working. Because I was not Team Ivar for a long time.
Oh, yeah, no. But when he scolds Fitzek and Ube, I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And why were they scolded, Carrie?
Well,
because is that our next thing we could talk about?
It is. Well, I think we got to get through this. Ivar's like crazy, right? And
yes.
Ube holds the Vikings' forces back, right? So the Vikings...
He's like, hold on.
And the knights and everyone comes to this one place.
Do you
and,
think he just wanted him to be shot and killed?
Well, now, knowing what we know now, maybe Ube was looking for Ivar to just be shot and killed.
Yes.
But at the time, I wanted to believe that Ube really was feeling this from a spiritual moment. Because I think all of us viewers were sort of having that. We're like, whoa, this dude is ascending.
Well, everybody was like... holding back, the British were
because
like, "Ooh, hold
all,
up!"
Right, there were 100 Saxons,
and one dude
and
on the ground, seated,
a boneless guy,
yeah.
And they were backing up, like they were scared of him, because he's freaking the hell out, blood all over his face. Although his teeth are a little too perfect for that.
I was thinking his teeth
blood
are a bit
all over
too
his
white.
Face, and he's like, "You can't fucking kill me!"
Oh, in their language too.
Right. Sorry, that was my first F-bomb, Steve, but it worked. It totally worked.
Well, it's intimidation. It's often technique for fighting and even just in, like, competitive sports, dance, whatever.
Competitive turkey roll and carrot eating. I'm going to tease Carrie about that all episode.
He is.
But maybe this whole episode was actually about, like, mind over matter sort of thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right? Like, she got hit the right place in his mind. His dick worked.
Yeah.
He went to another level, like, mentally and, like, about his confidence. And all of those, like, Saxons were like, all right, dude, I'm off you. Like, you're too crazy.
No, peace out. Also, the Haymond and Ivar face-off. I think everybody wants that. This is just kind of the introduction. Because they like had the look and then he has the sword like you. And it's like, oh, darn, people got in the way. And they're like, next time.
It would have been too easy. Because I think at that, I also feel like at that point,
I think he could have found, it would have been a good fight.
No, I think Hemond was like, probably glad that it didn't actually end up happening. Because Ivar looked so crazy.
Yeah.
That I think Hemond was like, no, this dude's going to kill me. Like, I know this guy rolling around on the ground is probably going to kill me because he's such a lunatic right now.
So cray-cray.
But they win. They win that battle.
They retreat. Yes. Saxons retreat. Run!
They're out. Everybody runs. And we're in post. We do this in the hospital, by the way, like after there's a tragic incident or like we code a patient. We always have like a post-conference about it. Like we sit around and like, what are the things we did well? And what are the things we can do better next time? And I sort of felt like, I'm like, this feels like work. When they were sitting around and they were like, what are the things we could have done better in this battle? And what should we do now? And Ube is like, we got to go negotiate a peace treaty.
I thought it's kind of, Daniel says Ube's little stunt should have separated him from the Ragnar comparison.
Agreed.
A little bit, yes. I thought it was really, I don't know if any of you else knows, I thought it was really kind of almost goofy. When everybody's running away, it was like a bunch of Saxons, random Vikings, but they're all kind of like running in a clump together. Like they're not still fighting. And it's just like, everybody like run. And it,
once they decided they could retreat, like everyone just ran. Yeah. Right. That is funny. But the comedic part was, I thought this was really interesting, that Ube and Vitsik.
Yeah,
I sort of didn't see this one coming either. Like, Ube's like, we need to negotiate peace. And Ivar's like, nope. And then the next scene, Ube's like, come on, Vitsik, wake up. We're leaving. And I thought they were just going to leave.
I thought they were leaving too.
But no, they didn't leave. They were actually went to the Saxon camp to try to negotiate a peace treaty. And that did not go very well at all. Although I felt like maybe Aethelwulf might have...
If Aethelwulf was in charge, he would have pushed for it.
I think he would have done it because Alfred told him.
If he was actually in charge.
Right. Well, he's not actually in charge.
Not really.
We all know that. He's the king, but he ain't really in charge. Even Alfred had more say than Aethelwulf because Alfred was like, we need to do this.
And if you're a man of God, shouldn't you push for peace? I was like, yes, stand up to him.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Yeah. He knows. Alfred already is trying to get under his skin, I think, just a little bit. He's like, if you're a man of God, shouldn't you want peace and mercy? Mm-hmm.
Ariadne points out, though, that Ube's actions are kind of more like old Ragnar wanting peace and stuff. I think all the sons have a piece of Ragnar of, like, how they are, for sure. I think Ube is at the point where the last episode, or the double, where he had the woman commit suicide in front of him in the church, I think he's at a point where he's kind of done regular fighting, or at least in England. I think he's like, I'm done. Like, not that he's not a fighter, but in England, he's ready to go
home. He's just over it. Well, I think he was like, it's time for us to settle and farm. And I think that's where
he wants to protect the people.
And the people's kind of way of life. Like, I think Ivar has a particular idea about how he wants to protect people. Right. Mm-hmm. Vitsik is sort of like, I'm going to do whatever, whoever's in charge. And Ube has a very different idea. And as the oldest, his at least gets listened to. But I just think Ragnar had a passion about him to be the leader of the Vikings and to do all these things and to conquer and raid. And Ivar has that passion too. And Ube's passion is just like, he wants to go home and farm. Like, he just wants to, like, chill. It's totally fine, but that's not like the Viking way either. Like, you've come this far, you can't be the dude that's like, now we're going to have a peace treaty and all live happily ever after. Like, that's not how this works.
Yeah, his thing of like, well, I'm the oldest, I can't let you be in charge. I'm like, no, you're not really in this anymore. You don't want to be. Just go back and do the fighting that happens regular. Like, not going somewhere else, just hang out there. And I was glad he left, and I don't think he should feel bad for leaving. Obviously, he feels bad that his brother... that Vitsik left him and went with Ivar instead. Right. But I'd be like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I wouldn't even be offended. Like, be like, you know what?
I'm all out. Right.
Peace out. Have fun.
So if you don't, I mean, you guys watched the episode, or if you didn't, if you're watching us first, you know, the peace treaty obviously didn't go very well. Heckman comes in and he beats the crap out of Ube and he sends him back.
That was cool editing. I like that too. Because at first I was all, wait, did we miss a scene?
It was like a flashback scene.
It was good without saying earlier or something else.
It was great. And the power play, even in the cinematography and in the direction of the scene with Ivar, even though he's sitting, he's above Ube and Vitsurk, and Vitsurk is in the background and he's not saying much, and Ube's like pacing and whatever. All of that really builds into their characters. And that's why I thought, whoever commented about the writing, that's part of the writing and the production and the cinematography and all of that. And I feel like that they did take a step back to what we're used to, back to what we expect with this show, with this episode. I felt like the first two episodes were just sort of like, okay, we got to catch up with the story, like, here we are, and now we're sort of back into like the grind of where the Vikings are, and grinding is what Ube is doing on the boat on his way home. Peace out, dude. Deuces.
I think it's good he's going back, because I think it'll better suit him. Like, he seems like he'd be more suited to stay in a town and take care of it instead of doing raiding parties, which is fine. They should go where they want to work and do, you know, and raid and kill people.
Carrie's all like the kumbaya Viking tonight. Sometimes you're not, Carrie. Sometimes you're like the bloodlust Viking, but tonight you're like, no, it's cool, man.
Ube should go back.
Do whatever you want, man. It's cool. No, apparently some people are liking Ragnar Lothbrok.
Yeah, but Ragnar Lothbrok was also a farmer and didn't necessarily want to do all the things he did either. So,
but he left that shit. Yeah, he left it and he went to conquer the world.
And
then
he
peaced
and he left though and disappeared for a while. So that's true. Peace out, that's everybody. A couple people actually really like Ivar's laugh. He talks weird to me. His weird, but actually we've said how all the,
they do, is that me?
No. All Ragnar and his kids all kind of have this weird soft voice. It's a weird way to
say it. And Bjorn does it the most for me. Like in this episode, he was like, well, why would I do that? I would feel naked. I'm like, Bjorn, did you lose your acting skills like in the season off? Or like, what, are we acting weird? I don't know. Bjorn's kind of always been that way. So there we are in the end of this episode. This was really big, really key. So Ube and Vitsurk are leaving on the boat, except Vitsurk, and they're going back to Kattegat. Yep. And Ivar's staying there. And Ivar has repeatedly said over and over again, dude, no one's with you.
And the other people, though, too, who want to leave, they should leave. Like, they shouldn't stay around.
But you notice the number of people on Ube's boat is like 50.
Very small amount of people.
And everyone wants to stay with Ivar because I think they're like, crazy or not, this dude is the leader. Like, this dude is the way. And sometimes you just, if you want to be a part of the winning team, sometimes you got to get behind crazy. I don't know if any of y'all play sports, but everyone who went, like, Michael Jordan was one of the craziest MFers like ever to play basketball. But the dude is a winner. I think that's how people feel about Ivar, right? They're like, this is our Jordan, and I know he's crazy. And if I'm on his side, maybe he won't.
Just don't piss him off.
Hatchet me in the face, like, 19
just
times.
Don't
piss
him off. Then
which is
fine.
Maybe what I thought Vitsurk's motivation for getting off the boat was.
Because then he wouldn't come back and kill him later?
Yes. Because I literally thought Vitsurk, I don't know if you guys agree with me in the comments, but
His looks, yeah.
He was like back and forth, and he's like, okay, so I can go back, and for now everything is cool with Ube, and I can just farm and find my girlfriend and do whatever, but if I go with Ivar, he won't stab me in the face later.
But also probably considering I can't piss off Ivar because he'll kill me too.
Yeah, yes, that's what I mean. Like, he was
it's
like,
bald. It's like, yay!
And so finally Ivar's like, dude, no one's with you but deuces.
But that shows how insecure he is.
Vitsurk?
No, Ivar. Nobody's with you. Like,
see, I didn't read it as insecure.
I felt it was insecure because why does he need to boast that way if he actually is like...
Maybe because he just has that way with...
You could take Ivar's yelling at Ube as confidence, but I took it more as a lack of confidence. Like, he's the little brother, like, look, everybody stayed with me, so neener, 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 like,
Totally, except he didn't do the neener, 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 like he has in the past.
Okay,
right?
maybe it's a cross in between.
When he killed Sigurd.
Yeah.
That was like a neener, neener, look at you, I hate you. I feel like now he was sitting there and he had that, like...
Oh, he's doing Assassin's Creed going on.
Yes, Assassin's Creed, Obi-Wan, like, hoodie thing going on, his head's a little tilted, and he's like... He was more, to me, more boss-like than he's ever been. Like, I felt like he was like, dude, no one's with you.
But see, there's confidence right there. Saying it once.
And that's what...
But he kept yelling it.
But he kept saying it.
Look, nobody's with you! Nobody's with you!
That's
interesting. And See, I don't buy it. Did you guys think that was confidence, or do you think he was, like, insecure? I want to go with these.
I mean, he's always going to have the little brother thing.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm a little brother. I'm a middle child.
A couple of people are like, wait, what happened? Rhiannon says, what happened to Ivar's eye? Well, a lot of people got hit in the face, and I'm going to, because Ivar had it and right. Ube had it. So yep. it's just an injury. Is it a blood vessel popped?
Just an eye. Yeah, that's exactly. Okay. The lay term is a blood vessel popped in his eye. Probably when he was hitting himself. So really good
contact. That's what it is.
When he was hitting himself in the face and the chest, when he was like, I'm Ivar the Boneless, you can't kill me.
Like, oh, okay. Timo says it was confidence and sound like he was yelling.
Right. See, I like it. I like it. All right. We'll see. So, Carrie, you know what this leads us to.
Predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Arya says, I think it was confidence because he's narcissistic AF. Yeah, that works too. That's another way to look at it. Because it's one of those, it's like a total 50-50 switch of either it's the lack of confidence or it's just he's that.
But that's where that comes from. When people are narcissistic, it comes from such a deep-seated like self-loathing, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's actually one is the other. But predictions, by the way, we want to know your predictions in the live chat. Throw them up here. We got a minute and 17 seconds left and we'll pop them out really quick. Also, if you're watching this in the after feed...
Watching it later.
If you're watching this afterwards and we're not live.
You can leave predictions down below.
Put your predictions down low. Always, we love your feedback, by the way. Again, we're not historians. We're just super fans. We have nothing to do with the production of the show. We love the show, but we love you guys' feedback. We really like it when it's nice. But if you have some improvements for the show or more that we can give to you because this is for you guys, please let us know. That's what we're here for. Okay, so Carrie, do you want me to go first?
Go for it.
No, because I don't have...
I disagree with Ariadne. Ariadne says, my only prediction is that Astra will switch over to Harold's side because of what Legatha says or does.
Uh-huh.
I think she's going to stay true to Legatha. Let's see. Ooh, Arya says, I think the chess piece that Alfred gave Ivar will become a big role in the end of the season with them becoming opponents.
Whoa.
Ooh, I like that.
Ara goes old school with me. I love it.
I don't think it's going to happen for a little bit, but I really want the standoff between... I was going to say the standoff between Ivar and Haemon, but I'm like, there can't be a standoff.
But Steve?
Well, I mean, he has this, like, crutches thing. But anyway, I think that will be a little while, though. They're not going to get that for... they might have a couple probably close battles or crossing paths, but we're not going to get that full fight probably till much later in the season.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Stan, I gotta go big. Remember last time, we didn't know this, my last prediction last week was that Helga is still alive and that she's in Iceland with Floki.
Right, we don't know yet.
He's gonna find her. So we don't know that yet. I don't know if that prediction was true. My other prediction, this one's a little bit soft. Ube doesn't actually leave. That they're gonna be in like...
Ooh,
it's gonna they'll be
just
like,
be upriver a little bit?
The Saxons are gonna take them over and they're about to die and everyone's about to die and Ivar's about to die and then Ube's gonna come in and save the day.
All right.
And like Timo's prediction is totally coming true. She predicted one last crumpled piece of paper. Thank you for watching the show, you guys. I'm doing this one in the big camera. There you go. Woo, we appreciate it. We love you guys so much. This was episode 3, right, of Vikings... titled Homeland, AfterBuzz. Follow us, please, on social media. My name is James Simmons. You can follow me at AskTheNP.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Make sure to give the video a thumbs up, subscribe, and we love to see your comments down below.
Love your comments. Love your thumbs up. We love it
and
all.
Subscribe if you're listening to this on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yay. Sorry about the podcast, people. Our bad. All right. We love you guys. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.